Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to be doing our second session on the doctrine of sin. The title of today's presentation is The Character and Nature of Sin. The outline for this particular session was taken from Landmarks of Baptist Doctrine, Book 3, pages 431 through 434. That book was published by Pastor Robert J. Sargent and published by Bible Baptist Publications of Oak Harbor, Washington. And again, folks, we have used this Bible Institute material for decades now and highly recommend it for training men for the ministry. And again, it also makes good material for teaching Sunday school with. In Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 through 3, and also in Isaiah 59, verse 12, there are three words which are used most often in the Word of God to refer to sin. Those words are transgression, iniquity, and sin. Again, that's transgression, iniquity, and sin. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3 state this: Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. That again is Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3. And we see them identified right there in that passage: transgression, iniquity, and sin. Next up, we also see that in Isaiah 59, verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. That's Isaiah 59, verse 12. Now, this session studies the full nature of sin as it relates to God, or in other words, God's law and to man. Romans 3:23 gives us the definition of sin. It says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the word sin means to miss the mark. In other words, they come short of the glory of God. It means to deviate from the standard of moral rectitude. It is a term associated with marksmanship. And we see that term associated with marksmanship in Judges chapter 20, verse 16, where it states this: Among all this people there were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at an hairbreadth and not miss. Now that is some marksmanship there, folks, and that's the mark really that we fall short of if you think of it. With God, everything that is not absolutely perfect is sin. In the Old Testament, the law was God's perfect standard. And the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law, is God's perfect standard for you and I. It's not my brother next to me or my sister next to me or the church down the street. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word that is our perfect standard. God's demands are very exacting. We see that in James chapter 2, verse 10, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Folks, one sin makes a man a sinner. A man may live an extremely good life, but he will fall short of God's holy demands. James chapter 2, verse 10 says this: For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You heard it there, folks. If you just break one point of the law, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. And then, we have 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says, Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. The standard that God has set is himself. The standard that God has set for the Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Now, the term sin relates to the holy character of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Now, what is a transgression? The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Hear that? That is the definition of it. Sin is the transgression of the law. The word transgression means to go beyond, to exceed the limits. It means a violation or a breach of the law. It is a failure to conform to both the law and the will of God. Numbers chapter 14, verse 41 states this, and Moses said, wherefore now do we transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Joshua chapter 7, verse 11 states this, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. That's Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. Joshua 7, verse 15. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Folks, the Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And that is a testimony of Saul there, that he feared the people and it caused him to sin. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Next up, we've got Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Hosea chapter 6, verse 7, but they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dwelt treacherously against me. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now that term holy relates to the holy law of God. And again, we've just been went through many passages of scripture there that defined what transgression is, and best defined in 1 John chapter 3, that says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. That is where we get its best definition from. Next up, we have defined iniquity. And now we're going to we've defined transgression. Now we're going to go in and define iniquity. We see that scripturally in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 2 through 7, and also in verse 12 of that same chapter. We'll start in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, there's what we're looking for, folks. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. That's Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 7. Now let's read verse 12 of that same chapter. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. That's Isaiah 59, verse 12. So the word iniquity means lawlessness, wickedness, crookedness, and perverseness. It is a distortion of that which is right. We see that identified time and again in that in Isaiah chapter 59. You ought to go and do a study on Isaiah chapter 59 and let it really work a work in your heart. We're going to go and look at several passages of Scripture that deal this time with this word iniquity. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 19, we have this. And said unto the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Next up, we have 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 7. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Psalm 68, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 106, verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Acts chapter 8, verse 23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. That's James chapter 3, verse 6. Now that term iniquity relates to the creation of God, including man, which has been perverted by sin. That's what iniquity is. Next up, we're going to talk about many other biblical terms that have the meaning of sin. A number of other terms are used in the Word of God to convey the range and intensity of sin. Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 states this, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. So let's start now and deal with some of the other terms that are used for the biblical doctrine of sin. First up, unrighteousness. We see that in Romans 6, verse 13, which states this, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Next up, we've got 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Then we've got 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." That sin unto death in that particular passage of Scripture is talking about believers in 1 John chapter 5. Next up, another term that has the meaning of sin in the King James Bible is the word trespasses. We see in this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And then next up we've got 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Ephesians 2, 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." That, again, is Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Okay, in the Bible, sin is also referred to as offenses. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 puts it this way, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." That, folks, is talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered for our sins, not for his, because he had none, neither could he have any. But he was delivered for our offenses. Next up, Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. Talking about this word offense now. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification for life." Next up, another word used for sin in the Bible is the word faults. We see that in Galatians 6, 1, which reads as follows, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Next up, the word Another word that is used to describe sin is wickedness, and that is in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 37, as one instance of it. Verse 37, "Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whether they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, We have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly." And then we have also another word that is used for sin is ungodliness. We see that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Romans chapter 5, verse 6 states this, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." There it is again, that ungodly phrase. Next up, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Next up, we've got Jude, verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who before of old ordained were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And then we have this in Jude, verse 15. "To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So we see that word ungodly is used to describe sin in the Bible, or is another word for sin. Next up, we have the word rebellion, which is another form of sin. Rebellion is an affront to God. Here's what 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 says about that. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So it states there that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Next, we've got Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Job chapter 34, verse 37. "For he addeth rebellion unto his sin. He clappeth his hands among us, and multiplieth his words against God." That again is Job chapter 34, verse 37. Another word that is used for sin in our Bibles is unlawfulness. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Also, another word that's used for sin is the word treachery. This means the betrayal of a trust, unfaithfulness, and also means to act deceitfully. Hosea 6, verse 7 describes it this way, "But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. Therefore, there have they dealt treacherously against me." Hosea chapter 6, verse 7. Next up, another sin that's identified in the Bible is indebtedness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Next up, another word for sin is disobedience. We have this in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 25. "We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. So we see that there, that as an act of obedience. Next, of disobedience, excuse me. Next up, we have Romans chapter 2, verse 8, where the Bible says this, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." Romans chapter 10, verse 21, "But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Next up, we've got Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Then we've got Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, "For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." And then we've got 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Another word for sin in our Bible is the word unbelief. John 16, verse 9 says this about this, "Of sin, because they believed not on me." So that, it is a, that idea of unbelief is identified there in John 16, 9. Next up, Hebrews 3, verses 18 and 19. "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Acts chapter 14, verse 2. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." Acts chapter 19, verse 9. "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus." Now, so the words in, that we have, other words in the Bible that we have identified as being sin have been unrighteousness, trespasses, offenses, faults, wickedness, ungodliness, rebellion, unlawfulness, treachery, indebtedness, disobedience, and finally, unbelief. All of those are described in your Bibles as being sins. Next up, we arrive at the following statements concerning sin. Sin is insubordination to God, rebellion against God, insisting upon living our lives as we want to, and it's also willful disobedience. Sin is refusing to allow God to have his way in our lives, and instead insisting upon our own way. Luke chapter 19, verse 14 says this concerning that subject, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us." And folks, who was that man in the context of Luke chapter 19? It was the man, Christ Jesus, the everlasting God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, another thing about sin is a wrong relationship to God. It is primarily an offense against the living God, the Creator, and sovereign of heaven and earth. Sin is also every abuse or perversion of God-given powers, every indulgence in the lust of the flesh, every encroachment upon the rights and interests or feelings of others. Sin is also essentially a departure from God. Sin is an unlikeness to God, the want of conformity to the holy standards of God. Sin is also selfishness, and that is the positive preference of self over God. It is the exaltation of self above God. Sin is also a state of unlikeness to God. And we see that identified in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, which states this, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart." Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says this about our hearts, folks. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me." That is Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 17. So, we can see that sin in principle is an opposition to God, and as an act, it is a transgression against God's law. We're going to close out this particular session on the character and nature of sin by again quoting 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And you ought to try to commit that particular verse to memory. It would help you. Verse 4 states this, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." I want to thank you for joining us today in this session, our second session on the doctrine of sin.